everyone, welcome back to the Earthon Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, all paths, all players, and all game masters. With your questers, Josh and Dan, I am Dan.
I am Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things thaumaturgical as we discuss Nethermancer spells. I got it right this time. And if you have any questions about any of these, please contact us at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Our inbox, by the way, is empty. We haven't heard from anybody in a long time. So please, by all means, let us know you're out there. Drop us a line. Tell us something funny. Ask us a great question. We'll pick Josh's brain and see what we get.
A couple of things to talk about before we get to the main topic of tonight's show. Looking at the next few weeks of production, where we are here recording this at the beginning of July, Gen Con is coming up in a month.
So soon?
4 weeks from soon, yes. Don't ask me how my adventure prep is going. Ross asked me
hey,
in
Josh.
Our company meeting the other night, and I just laughed. Anyway, Gen Con is coming up. That is the first week of August. I will be there. A lot of the other members of the team will be there. If you are going to be there, even if you didn't get a chance to get into one of our sessions, feel free to come by the booth, say hi. When it gets closer, I will post somewhere, a couple of different places probably, what times I personally expect to be at the booth. Otherwise, you can look at what times I am running games, and if you like, swing by at the beginning of the game to chat briefly or to have books signed or whatever, I'm happy to do that. But in addition to Gen Con, I actually have the week of Gen Con off, obviously, from my day job, but I also have the week after Gen Con off
what?
From my day job.
I'm just kidding. Josh is allowed a vacation.
Yeah. So I've got 2 weeks off, and before we started recording, we were looking at our production schedule and what episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to kind of talk about this. Depending on exactly what happens here, we might have a week or two that we don't release an episode. I will not be home to do my half of the production to upload and schedule episodes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Dan will maybe fit in a recording of some more Legends because we still have some of those left to go.
Yeah.
At least 2, maybe 3 episodes worth of that. Whether we get enough to fill both of those empty weeks remains to be seen.
We'll see how we're doing.
We're here in the summer. You know, life is life, and we'll do what we've got to do. But just to let you know in advance that if there are a week or two where we don't release an episode, especially if it's like the beginning of August, don't panic.
Yeah.
Letting you know. While we haven't necessarily released a full episode every week, aside from a brief stretch back in 2020,
mm-hmm.
we've pretty much released something every week, even if it was a special or whatever. But just to let you know.
Yeah.
Consistency is a good thing in podcasting, but sometimes life just doesn't allow for it, where we need to coordinate our recording times.
And real life.
And real life and everything else. So that's that. Related to our inbox, related to upcoming production.
Yes.
I have been talking to Lou, and we have not set anything in stone yet, but we are going to have Lou on the show
soon.
The recording for that will be sometime. It'll be after Gen Con. We will definitely not do that recording, probably end of August, maybe sometime in September. We're looking at it being episode 200, but where we need to coordinate with Lou that, you know, maybe something that we record a little bit earlier as schedules allow and go from there. What this means, however, and why I am mentioning this now, is that if you have questions that you would like to put in the mailbag that you want us to ask Lou, feel free to send those in. If you mention in the subject line or at the beginning of the email that these are questions for Lou or for the episode with Lou, then we will hold them off until we do that recording.
Yeah.
Depending on how many we get, we may not necessarily be able to get to all of them, but we will certainly try. It depends on what the conversation ends up being like.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just kind of go from there. But if you have questions that you would like to have asked in that episode with Lou coming up here in a couple of months or whatever.
Yeah.
Send them in.
Anything you've always wanted to know.
Yeah, and we will mention this again in future episodes, but this is sort of now happening, and so we wanted to mention it ahead of time. Similar to like the questions for dragons, this is kind of a big deal. We know a lot of people to potentially have questions, so yeah. We'll let you know so you can send them in and we can have those ready.
So lose a dragon then. I'm teasing. Kidding. Kidding.
Well, yeah.
Kidding.
So that covers that. The other thing I can't actually announce yet, but maybe...
Fair.
If you have seen some social media stuff...
There's a dragon plushie.
Yeah, on Twitter and on Facebook.
Facebook.
There was teased a couple of pictures with a new dragon plush along Alibis. With something else.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go and look for it. If you do know what we're talking about, then you know what we're talking about.
Then we hear you smiling.
Yeah. That gives some indication as to what may be coming here in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. Fair enough. So, nice little teasers. Thank you, sir. So, on to our thaumaturgical portion of the show.
We're going to talk about... Spookaturgical.
Spookaturgical. We're just making up words as we go along, because we can. We're going to talk about some Nethermancer spells. Now, this is right up Josh's alley, and that's not a euphemism, because you have played a Nethermancer, I can't say ad nauseum, but you've played a Nethermancer for a long time.
Yeah, I played a Nethermancer up through, I was 8th circle, I think, when the game, when we finally stopped. Yeah. We're going to be talking about the 3rd and 4th circle spells in the player's guide today. Yeah, I will have some thoughts about them.
That's why we're here. So... So on to that. Alphabetically speaking, our beginning third circle spell, because I hate saying first third circle spell, that confuses people. Our beginning third circle spell, Zero Threads, Arrow of Night.
I mentioned this in an earlier episode. This is a spell that archers and other missile weapon characters really like. It provides a notable bonus to the damage test made with a missile weapon. And also, on top of that, provides a penalty to the afflicted victim's mystic armor. There are two minor drawbacks to this spell. One is that because of the way that it works, you need to kind of eventually work out the timing between the Nethermancer and the Archer in terms of when the Nethermancer preps the arrow to give it to the Archer to fire.
Yeah.
Archers and scouts typically will have a higher initiative, but fortunately the duration of the spell is 2 rounds. So even if on that first round, the archer doesn't necessarily get the chance to fire off the spooky arrow.
The next round,
they would be able to. The other issue is that the archer who fires it takes 1 point of strain damage from handling the mystic arrow. The chill, the astral emanations that are wrapped around it do cause them a little bit of damage, and it also destroys the missile in question
when it hits.
Arrow is consumed by the spell, crumbling to dust.
Yeah.
It means that you cannot recover those arrows like with Call Missile or something like that. Like, once they are fired, they are gone.
They are toast.
Those are some relatively minor drawbacks. It does mean that you would need to be a little bit more careful in terms of tracking ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not in a situation where you could necessarily get a hold of more arrows easily, that is something to keep in mind. But otherwise, +6 bonus to a damage test is very nice. And the reduced mystic armor means that you could then follow it up with a mystic spell like Astral Spear, for example,
mm-hmm.
which the Nethermancer gets.
Yep.
And have them take increased damage because their mystic armor is reduced.
Yeah.
So. But as a zero threat spell, it is pretty nice. And if you've got a missile character in the group, an archer or a scout, then this is a really nice spell to have handy to bring even more ranged nastiness to bear from those characters.
No kidding. I remember that one from, I think...
It's even better to a certain extent with scouts than it is with archers, because archers have plenty of other ways to boost their damage.
Mm-hmm.
Scouts do not have as many tools to do that. And so if you have a scout as your ranged character rather than a full archer,
yeah,
this is a spell that definitely increases the potency of that character.
Yeah, because I played a scout and this would have been very handy for me to have. We had an elementalist in the party, not another mancer, but that was just me. So next up, Aspect of the Bone Spirit. This actually goes along with the second circle spell, Aspect of the Fog Ghost. So these are, there are some aspect spells in the Nethermancer's cache.
Yeah, we talked about aspect spells a little bit last time when we were discussing elementalist spells, because elementalists get some aspect spells as well.
Yes.
So this is another one. This summons the bone spirit from one of the Nethermancer's bone circles and binds it into a willing target. The target gains +4 mystic defense and mystic armor, with the requirement that the possessed character, the bound individual who has the bone spirit within them, must obey the caster's commands. If they fail to obey any of the caster's commands, then the spell immediately ends. So it is a nice little defensive booster to provide to someone, especially if you're going into a situation where mystic stuff might be flying about. Because it does summon from a bone circle, you need to have a bone circle within range, but that range is pretty significant. It's the magician's spellcasting rank times 10 miles.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, no kidding. So what would you exactly call this bone spirit to do? I'm just trying to figure out examples that maybe you've used in the past.
I have not actually used this spell before.
Fair.
But the requirement basically would be that you would more or less want to make it fairly easy for the bound character to easily obey your commands. You would be bringing this in likely in a combat situation, because it only lasts for the magician's spellcasting rank in rounds. It doesn't last for a particularly long time.
And it's only one thread, so yeah, pretty immediate use.
I mean, you could have an easy command like attack that person or protect me or something along those lines, which would
unlock the door.
Really easy for the individual to do while being able to take advantage of their defenses.
Fair. So maybe cast it on the town guard who won't let you in. Unlock the door or whatever.
First off, you need to cast it on a willing target. If the town guard is not going to be let you in, you can't cast it on them. And it doesn't require the bound character to follow the orders. It's just that if they fail to, then the spell immediately ends and they no longer have the bonus. That's the situation. You would cast it on an ally, like going into a fight situation. Maybe if you were going into a situation like, say, at the end of Shattered Pattern, where you've got that big fight against the Nethermancer there, giving one of your allies, like a warrior or whatever,
Swordmaster,
a bonus to mystic defense and mystic armor when you're going up against somebody that is potentially going to be throwing around those kind of things, and to give them a command, kill that guy. That's what you would be using it in. Again, it doesn't compel the obeying, but what you would basically do is give a command that is fairly easy to follow in order for the target to benefit from the bonuses that it provides.
Fair.
As far as aspects go, this one is pretty open in terms of the behavior that you need to follow. We talked about the aspect of the reflecting pool.
Yes.
In the other elementalist spells, where that had some pretty strict behaviors that needed to be followed. You had to sort of mirror the target. You couldn't express any strong opinions yourself.
Yes.
That is a much stronger prohibition in behavior as opposed to this one. And part of that has to do with the duration. This is a relatively short duration spell, and so the prohibition is not particularly difficult. And part of that is that the bone spirit is already bound in service to the Nethermancer, and so that binding carries over into it performing this task.
Fair. just wanted to give some parameters for what this could be used for some people who are approaching the spell probably for the first time. So, heading off some emails just in case. Next up is Aspect of the Cowardly Skulk.
Another aspect spell.
Alphabetically speaking, yes.
This one lasts a little bit longer. It's got many more threads. It's got three threads as compared to the Aspect of the Bone Spirit one. Again, Aspect of the Bone Spirit being a spell that is likely to be used in combat or going into combat. Aspect of the Cowardly Skulk is not a combat spell. It binds a spirit to the target. Again, it needs to be a willing target. Mm-hmm. The target of the spell gains a +4 bonus to perception-based tests to gain information from direct observation and action tests made to escape detection. So it would boost stealthy stride. It would boost any number of spells. This boosts your scouting abilities, your ability to spy and scout without being detected. It increases that. Another advantage that it provides is that the target can move at full speed while avoiding detection. Nice. Whereas normally stealthy stride requires you to go at reduced movement. Yeah. This overrides that. Any active threats against the target cause them to flee immediately at their fastest rate of movement, after which the spell immediately ends, and the target must continue to flee from any threats for the next hour if the spell ends prematurely. So this is a spell that when you are looking to gather information, it lasts for rank in minutes. You go in, you scout, you come back out, hopefully without being detected. When you have completed that task, the spell ends normally. You don't have that prohibition, but you are good with whatever you have going on. Again, this is actually a really nice spell that would work pretty nicely for a thief or scout or beastmaster.
Yeah.
Somebody that might be going into a scouting or stealth situation, providing some decent bonuses. Again, the requirement to behave a certain way and a drawback if that goes wrong.
Totally. Very nice. One of the absolute favorites I know for any Nethermancer's kit, Fog of Fear.
Yeah, this is a great one. This has been modified from earlier versions. Fog of Fear was a spell that appeared in first edition. It is a spell that goes back quite a ways. The difference with this is it follows the trend of how some of the magician spells in 4th edition enhance existing abilities, talents usually, rather than doing their own effects. Like, for example, the Astral Sense spell for wizards changes the way that the astral sight talent works. It no longer causes them strain. It extends the duration and does some other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Fog of Fear does a similar thing for the Nethermancer's Frighten talent. Normally, Frighten takes an action and only targets one individual. If you have cast Fog of Fear, then you can use Frighten against all targets within the affected area as a single action. It basically converts your Frighten from a single target effect to an area effect. It's basically an upgrade. It's an enhancement. It's a boost
talent
to that ability.
Yeah.
Whereas the original version of the spell had its own tests that it made to see if people were frightened rather than relying on the already existing Frighten ability that Nethermancers innately had.
Yeah. So not bad, because the extra threads are either the increased effect, so bonus of talent, increased range, or the increased area. So it's well done.
And it's base rank rounds with extra successes on the casting, adding to the duration. And it's a base casting of 6. Like, it doesn't even target Mystic Defense.
Yeah.
It's a base 6 successfully cast. And when you're looking at a 3rd, 4th, 5th circle Nethermancer, hitting that 6 and getting extra successes is probably not going to be that particularly difficult.
Agreed. So much easier to cast Fog of Fear along with your Frightened talent. Next up.
Before we get into that other one, we probably talked about this back with when we were talking about the 1st and 2nd Nethermancer spells. Yes. This pairs really, really nicely with the 2nd circle Nethermancer spell, Death's Head, which similarly is an enhancement to Frighten. What Death's Head does is it changes Frighten from being a standard action to a simple action. Mm-hmm. And yes, you can stack Death's Head and Fog of Fear to make your Frighten a simple action area of effect if you have both spells going on at the same time.
Yeah. So I'm going to let that pause your show for a minute. Just let that sink in.
Yeah. Frighten is a nasty talent on its own. Mm-hmm. Upgrading that to an area effect simple action, you're throwing out some nasty penalties to everybody that you are potentially affecting with it.
I like that one. So this one, next one, is pretty much a doozy. It's got four threads to it, so it's clearly not a combat spell, but this clearly is Grave Message.
Yes. This is a spell that allows the Nethermancer to send a message to another name giver, another individual.
Yeah.
They speak a shortish message, no longer than 50 words, either inside a bone circle, a cemetery, or other place where spirits are active. They make a spell casting test. If successful, the message is successfully sent to a specified bone circle, cemetery, or place in which spirits are active and addressed to a named character or any appropriate individual that happens by. The message is in a sort of quavering spirit voice, but done only once. This is a way for Nethermancers, mainly Nethermancers, to communicate with each other, because mm-hmm. you have to designate another bone circle or cemetery or place like that for the message to be delivered, although it doesn't have to be delivered to another Nethermancer. That's just sort of easiest to do because you might know where your friend's bone circles are.
Yeah.
Extra success levels and extra threads can be used to increase the range. The base range is 20 miles. Each extra success adds 20 miles to that, and each additional thread also can add additional miles, and it lasts up to rank days. So the spirit can go there and wait while the duration is in effect before delivering the message.
Better than Western Union.
It's not necessarily like an instant communication because it is sort of just one way.
Yeah.
But it can be handy if you have sort of a prearranged situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's going to a bone circle, if you were perhaps supposed to meet somebody.
Yeah.
At a location and you make it there, but you need to leave for some reason, you could potentially set up a bone circle there to have that be the target of the casting.
Message. Yeah.
Right. At the time that you cast the spell, that bone circle is within 20 miles. The spirit could then wait in the bone circle to deliver the message whenever the intended recipient happens by, or whatever other situation it is. There is certainly some other interesting use cases that I imagine that could be made out of this.
No kidding.
Very flavorful, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great to be used in a novel somewhere. That one's definitely made for a short story or novel, something like that. Onto one of the best combat spells I think the Nethermancers get, Pain. Zero threads.
Zero threads, short range, only 10 yards.
Yeah.
But this is devastating. This has been toned down slightly, I think, from the original version.
Mm-hmm.
When successfully casting Pain on a target, they suffer 3 temporary wounds and have their movement reduced. I think the original was 4 wounds, or maybe it imposed just a straight penalty of some sort. Anyway, this doesn't cause any damage, but three wounds, even temporary ones, are a very, very nasty debuff.
Yeah.
And the target's movement rate is halved for the duration of the spell. The drawbacks are that, for example, it doesn't really affect undead. Most horror constructs, cadaver men are really bad to use it on because it will pretty much automatically send them into a frenzy.
Yep.
Blood elves also, it says, are
slightly resistant,
unaffected because they're always in pain by their nature. But this is a very powerful and very useful spell.
Yeah, definitely in combat. And if you didn't turn the page, because on the following page it says, if you use against cadavermen, to Josh's point. So if you don't read the full spell, you don't quite get that one.
I think it also mentions in the cadaver man text in the Game Master's Guide, I think it probably also mentions that the frenzy can be triggered by the pain spell.
Fair. Fair. Last third circle Nethermancer spell, Summon Bone Spirit.
Yeah, this is a partner to aspect of the bone spirit, which we discussed earlier. Rather than binding the bone spirit into a specific individual, this just summons the bone spirit from the bone circle.
Yeah.
It obeys any commands that the magician gives it. Entering combat, reporting happenings within sight of its bone circle, etc. They don't like being summoned outside of their circle, so you really try not to abuse this, because it gets more difficult each time you try and use it against the same spirit within the same day. The advantage is, and we didn't mention this with Aspect of the Bone Spirit, but both Aspect and Summon Bone Spirit can be in the same matrix. And so it's just basically a slightly different result depending on whether you want to bind them into the target or not.
Yeah.
The advantage to Summon Bone Spirit, and I think I used this as Virag, possibly in that big final, in that big fight against Zorg, the horror in Kaer Synok.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair. That's what Nethermancers do a lot. Yeah.
Basically, what this allows you to do is to bring the Bone Spirit to you to do the things that otherwise you have to be in the Bone Circle in order to do.
Fair. But that's
you just need to be within range of the circle.
Yeah. But this is what they do. They use spirits a lot, whereas the Elementalist uses, those Elementals.
Elementals.
A lot.
Yeah.
So this is the other one, the other side of that coin. So favorite of a third circle spell, since you've used some of these?
Arrow of Night and Pain are both top tier. Both really, really cool. Pain is a little bit more potentially broadly useful, limited by its short range, limited a little bit if you are going to be facing certain kinds of opponents pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. Arrow of Night obviously doesn't really do you a whole lot of good if you don't have somebody in the party that's a missile weapon character.
Fair.
Fog of Fear is really nice. Frighten is a talent that Nethermancers really should leverage a lot, and having spells that enhance it is even better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a 4-yard radius area that you can affect multiple targets within as a single action. I think the ruling is the drawback there is that it affects all targets. You cannot selectively not frighten people that are within it. But it certainly does help if you are in a situation where you might be facing a whole lot of enemies, being able to affect them all at once, especially if you combine that with Death's Head to turn that into a simple action.
Yeah.
Grave Message is very cool and flavorful, but potentially limited in its use cases. If you are going to be doing a lot of traveling around where you won't necessarily be near bone circles or be near places where you would be sending the messages, it might not be as useful. But again, I talked about you can set up your own bone circle and leave a message for it in it if you want to without too much difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
The aspect spells are nice, both of them, but of those three, I think I probably prefer Summon Bone Spirit more than Aspect of the Bone Spirit.
Fair.
Simply because Summon Bone Spirit makes things a little bit more flexible for you. You can bring the spirit in to do other tasks, whereas Aspect of the Bone Spirit just kind of provides a fixed defensive bonus to the target. Cowardly Skulk is nice, but again, use case potentially limited depending on what your group's makeup is. It might actually, if you don't have like a dedicated scout or thief or something like that, it can be nice to provide a bonus to somebody who would otherwise be doing that normally wouldn't.
Agreed.
In the same way that the lower circle shadow spell that provides you bonuses to Stealthy Stride is handy even for people that don't have Stealthy Stride, because it provides a bonus to your base for those purposes.
Yeah. Because you'll always have somebody who's too big and too clumsy or whose dice aren't reliable that needs to be quiet for a while. Cast it on them.
Yeah, depending on what's going on, I would probably have Fog of Fear and Pain as probably my top two choices for that for most Nethermancers, maybe with Summon Bone Spirit as a close third, depending on the circumstances. Like if you have time to prepare and you can set up a bone circle to have a bone spirit in it, then Summon Bone Spirit can come in very handy for the same reasons that Animal Companions or any other additional ally to have in a battle would be. It provides you like an additional bonus to your action economy and some flexibility in terms of what you can do, even if the spirit is limited a little bit in where it can go, because it has to remain within 10 yards of you. So you can't like send it forward to attack other enemies, but the bone spirits get access to enhance summoner, where they provide bonuses to their summoner as a task and that sort of thing. So yeah. That can come in handy. That's kind of what I intended Virag's bone spirits to do when she summoned them.
Cool.
Was to provide bonuses to spell casting and or effect tests for spells that she would cast.
Well, that's our first 7 for tonight. Let's get to the other half dozen here. So we're doing a full 13. And for you Triskaidekaphobics out there, you know, enjoy that number. But we're going to do a baker's dozen tonight. So the beginning fourth circle spell, another aspect spell, aspect of the menacing tyrant.
Yeah, this is another aspect spell. So binding a spirit into a willing target. While the spell is active, all Game Master characters are treated as having a neutral attitude towards the bound character. That bound character gains a bonus to tests based on intimidation and fear. When the spell ends, any Game Master characters whose attitude was adjusted as a result of the spell automatically get one level worse than they were at the end of it. So it makes people kind of more hostile towards them. Any actions by the target, by the bound character, which directly aid anyone other than themselves, causes the spell to end immediately. If the spell ends early, they suffer a penalty to any willpower-based tests until they get a full night's rest. There is potentially a downside to this where the spirit may attempt to remain bound to the target when the duration of the spell is over, because it is a spirit of tyranny. It is a spirit of command and control and fear. And so it may choose to stay at the Game Master's discretion. And if it attempts to stay, then the bound character must succeed at a willpower test to kick it out.
That just provides like awesome role-playing opportunities.
Yeah, there is some potential opportunity here. When you are going in for a sort of commanding situation, a strike fear and intimidation into the hearts of folks sort of situation.
Yeah. So
where you're not necessarily concerned about the long-term consequences of being nasty to them, this would be a really effective spell, for example, for interrogations, questioning folks and whatnot, where you're kind of like playing the bad cop, so to speak.
Yes.
Where you're trying to get information and you're not necessarily concerned with how things go, or negotiating or intimidating your way past other opposition in some capacity.
Yeah.
You know, there are definitely some interesting use cases for this.
Absolutely. On to the next one, Dark Spy.
This is a spell that can be very useful, but only if you have taken Command Nightflyer
spells
as one of your talents. Because Nightflyer is a talent now.
Sorry.
This allows the magician to see and hear through a Nightflyer's senses. It must be cast after sunset and only on a Nightflyer that is already under the control, whether as an animal companion or through the use of the Command Nightflyer talent. So it is possible to use it without the Command Nightflyer talent, but it needs to be a loyal animal that you have already
befriended,
bound with, and trained. Even if you're not a Beastmaster, there is a way to increase your, because you can take Animal Bond as a skill, for example.
Yeah, but it's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It's another like nice sort of scouting spell. If you've got an owl, for example, or a krill worm or something like that, that is a small nighttime creature, scouting and keeping watch on things at night can be very handy. And as long as the creature in question, the Nightflyer, remains within spellcasting rank miles.
Wow.
You can see through their eyes and hear through their ears. Yeah. And it lasts rank minutes with extra successes increasing that duration.
Cool.
Extra threads can add bonuses to any perception tests that you might make while you are observing through the creature's senses.
Yeah, but
the minor drawback is that because the magician is focused on the Nightflyer, they have a hard time reacting to things that are going on right around them, and so are considered harried for any other tests that they might make while the spell is in effect.
That makes
the sense. Only things that count would be perception are not penalized by that, because that's the purpose of the spell.
Totally. Totally. But it's nice to have as a little one-off if you've got that animal companion or the ability to do so with Command Nightflyer. So
Command Nightflyer is a very, very nice talent to pick up. Because not only do you have this spell, but there's another spell that we will talk about here in a couple of moments that also relates to Command Night Flyer.
Yes, yes. We'll get there. Third spell in the fourth circle kit for Nethermasters is Evil Eye, and this is a zero thread.
Zero thread spell. This is a spell that is yet another enhancement to the Frightened Talent. This one, the Magician's Frightened Talent gains a free extra success on all successful uses of the Frightened Talent.
Yeah.
So it increases the penalty from the successful use of the Frightened Talent automatically.
Yeah. So that's pretty straightforward.
More spells that boost your Frighten. Virag was not really intended, or I didn't take advantage of Frighten a whole lot on Virag. To anybody who's listened to the show, you were kind of aware of that. But if you are going to be playing another Mancer that is really playing up the creep factor and using Frighten a lot, this is definitely a spell that you would want to have in your repertoire.
Totally.
Because you use it on your own Mystic Defense.
Yeah.
And you automatically get that additional success. And like a lot of self-targeting spells, I would allow it at least one minimum success with extra successes based on your normal Mystic Defense.
Totally. Absolutely. No more need be said.
And extra threads on this can increase the number of bonus successes that you get.
And the duration. Yeah. So
the duration increases with extra successes and then extra threads to increase
the effect.
The effect. It starts at one, and each extra thread that you decide to weave to it gives you an additional extra success on top of that. It basically increases the effective penalty.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, that's a nice booster. Nice little boost.
On top of the other ones that are already there. You pick these up and you basically turn yourself into a Frighten machine.
Absolutely. You're just the scary man.
Frighten on a simple action area of effect with free extra successes.
Yeah. Go, man, go. Just debilitate your opponents. Next up is Last Chance.
Ah, I love this spell. This is incredibly valuable. This is, I think, one of the only spells, if not the only spell of its kind. This is basically a spell that duplicates the effects of a last chance potion.
Fair.
Or last chance salve.
Yeah.
The drawback is that it needs to be done a lot sooner than a last chance salve. I think a last chance salve you can use within an hour of the target character's death. Last chance, the spell, you need to use within a minute.
Ooh.
So you need to basically get on them right away.
Yeah, no kidding.
If successful, the target get to make a recovery test with a +4 bonus to see if they are pulled back from the brink of death. And if they do not have any recovery tests remaining for whatever reason, then they still get a single step 4 recovery test. Basically, the bonus from the spell, they get that as a chance.
Yeah.
It can only be cast on a target once per day. So unlike a last chance salve, which I think allows you to make multiple recovery tests when you use it on a target.
Yeah.
The first one doesn't bring them back and they still have recovery tests remaining. They can continue to use them. This only allows one. It needs to be cast within a relatively short period of time. And it has a thread. So on top of that, until you get into journeyman circles and can have this in a enhanced matrix.
Yes.
You generally want to decide whether this is one that you are going to have in your standard loadout so you don't have to reattune to it on the fly when you are under the time pressure to get it onto somebody before their minute is up.
Yeah, because that's only 10 rounds because the fourth edition update to combat rounds is 6 seconds.
It's 10 rounds, and that's just not something that when you are in a situation where you want to cast this spell that you want to mess with it.
You want to get this one right because you're trying to bring somebody back from death because they need to be, zero hit points or lower, not hit points.
They need to be above their death rating.
Yeah, absolutely. The one Josh was talking about right now, second to last, Night Flyer's Cloak.
Ah, this is another great spell. This allows the magician to assume the form of any creature that could be affected by the Command Night Flyer talent. But in order to be able to cast this spell, the Nethermancer must know the Command Night Flyer talent.
Yes.
They need to have the talent in order to be able to use this spell. But once they do, they can transform into a Night Flyer. Owl, Krillworm.
Bat.
Any number of creatures that are considered nocturnal flyers. all of the magician's equipment is transformed with them when they make the change.
Mm-hmm.
They can use all of the creature's normal abilities while they are in the form. They can't speak or cast spells, but they can use talents and abilities that require only thought or eye contact. So that does still give them access to some of their abilities.
Yeah.
They do themselves become vulnerable to the Command Nightfire talent. They can change back as a standard action at any time. Their health ratings, current damage, and wounds that they might be suffering when they make the transformation are still in effect. Unlike polymorph magic in Dungeons and Dragons, for example, where it like replaces your health with your hit points with the hit points of the creature that you transform into. This spell doesn't do that. You have your health ratings and your effective damage and whatever is all still the same. You can't sort of get out of that by transforming. But by transforming into a small nocturnal flyer, you could certainly escape a dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm.
We all know how annoying windlings can be in that kind of situation. I used this spell on a couple of occasions to transform into a snowy owl, which was my sort of favored form for Virag in the podcast game. And because Virag was a troll, it was actually a large snowy owl.
Very large. Very nice. Lastly, fourth circle, Nethermancer spell, Viewpoint.
Yet another sort of spying / scouting type spell. This creates a one-way window through a wall or barrier, not a particularly thick one. It can only be no more than 2 yards or 6 feet thick. If successful, a window up to 1 square yard in size is created, allowing the magician to see through it. The barrier's material is unaffected, so it's still stone or wood or whatever. There is a chance that someone on the other side may notice that it's there, even if they can't see through it. They might detect something off about the surface that is being looked through and be able to notice that it's there. The spellcasting test determines the difficulty number for the ability to spot it.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're doing like sort of a care dive or sort of situation, casting this spell and having it handy, it's 2 threads, but casting this spell on a door in order to see what's on the other side of a room before you go through.
Yeah.
Can be pretty
super handy.
Yeah. There's some definitely useful potential with this spell.
Oh, yeah. The applications for this, I can't say are limitless, but are at least longer than you'd think.
Significant. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. A favorite of the fourth circle, or pretty much, I'm liking the build out kit for Nethermancer's first, second, third, and fourth circle so far for their spell capabilities.
Last chance, I think, should be one of the top priorities for any Nethermancer when you get to fourth circle. There are few spells that allow you to bring someone back from death. I think this may be the only one.
Sounds right.
Certainly one of the few that allow you to target other people. Last chance salves exist, but having a spell on hand is really useful. Evil Eye is great. Just stacking those really nice frightened bonuses, enhancements from the spells there. Nightflyer's Cloak is cool. Dark Spy is cool. The drawback is that if you do not take Command Nightflyer as a talent, there are 2 spells at fourth circle that end up not being available to you.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure ultimately how I feel about that.
Fair.
Command Nightflyer is a cool talent. It is a potentially useful talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure how I feel about needing to essentially have one of your talent options taken up with this talent in order to get access or use out of some of your spells.
Fair.
Frighten is a discipline talent. Having spells that enhance that are fine because it's a talent that everybody is going to have.
Yeah.
And even if you don't necessarily use it a lot or whatever, all Nethermancers are going to have it. And so having spells that enhance
boost
that. Doesn't feel like a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas the 2 spells connected to Nightflyers in fourth circle, you need that talent in order to use them. Perhaps if there were like 1 at 3rd and 1 at 4th, might not feel so bad. Fair. But having two of them both at fourth circle just feels like it is potentially limiting in that almost a third of the spells at fourth circle not being available to you unless you're using a particular talent. That's something where if somebody wanted to house rule, yeah, I mean, Dark Spy doesn't actually require Command Night Flyer, but you would have need to invested the resources somehow in order to get the animal companion.
Fair.
That you could use it with. So again, these both feel like a little bit at times above and beyond what is good for them to have in terms of choices. When more fourth circle spells become available, it might make me change how I feel about that. But right now, part of the reason why I took Command Night Flyer as one of my talent options on Virag was so that I could use Night Flyer's Cloak, because I think it's an awesome spell.
Yes.
I really like it. There's not a lot of transformation / polymorph type magic.
Mm-hmm.
The flexibility that you have when you can take the form of a night flyer, whether a bat or a krill worm or an owl or any number of other creatures.
Yeah.
That's like super useful and super flexible and versatile, and a lot that you can do with it. I think maybe that flexibility, like needing to take a talent in order to take advantage of that, may be a worthwhile trade-off.
Fair. It's not a bad sacrifice.
I don't know. It depends on how I feel about it. I mean, I think access to that spell on its own may be enough to make the Command Night Flyer talent worth taking. Above and beyond the fact that Command Night Flyer is a reasonably useful talent in most situations.
Yeah. Well, and it also depends on what kind of game you're playing in.
Yeah. That is, again, one of those things that you need to keep in mind. But again, as a GM, brought this up before, the choices that your player characters make give some indication as to what type of game that they want and what things they might be interested in. And so it behooves you to do what you can to provide that to at least some extent.
Yeah, fair. So if you have any questions for us at all about these 13 spells you heard tonight, let us know. Drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, go command the Night Flyer for your legend.
Good night, everybody.